The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord," and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was with him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Today, because we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, it's a good time to think about the importance of the family throughout history. And I'm talking about the nuclear family of father, mother, and children. That's the family that God designed from all eternity to be a mainstay for all societies, all cultures. It's the foundational group, so to speak, for really everything around the planet. Our Holy Father has said a great deal about the importance of the family. And not all of it's been reported by the media because it's very, I put it this way, politically incorrect. But he's been very clear about it. He's made statements such as, "Children have the right to a father and a mother." Children have a right to a father and a mother. He said that. He also said very clearly that the family is under attack, and there's all sorts of redefinitions, new definitions of family, but he says, no, the church has none of that, because it's all about God's definition of the family, which is father, mother, and children, husband, wife, children. So as Catholics, as Christians, we look to God and God's design of the world, of family life, of nature, in order to see how we are called to live our lives. And so the family is very much a part of God's design and intention for the ongoing life of the world, health of the world. You cannot have a healthy society, a healthy nation, a healthy culture without having healthy families. of mothers and fathers and children. And so we in the church, under the leadership of Pope Francis, are called to remember the importance of family life and to work to make sure that it is faithful to God's plan, that it is nourished and nurtured so that it can be truly strong, so that the children who are members of those families will grow up with an understanding of God's desires for us, God's will, God's plan for the world, so that our society can be strong. Now, those who, let's say, have large families are those who are very focused on the Lord. Now, people who, let's say, believe in overpopulation and we should get rid of human beings, so forth and so on, are angry about that. Well, we're just doing what the Lord wants us to do in having good, strong families. But again, they're the foundation of the church, they're the foundation of society. And as we look to the Holy Family, Father, Mother, and Child, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, we get an idea of what a holy family is all about. Well, a family that supports one another, loves one another, prays together. The parents teach the children or the child about the faith so that they can grow up with the virtues necessary to live a holy life and to be a great gift to the world, to society. Virtuous living comes from strong, virtuous, holy families. So in the second reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians, we're told that families need love, obviously, patience, kindness, humility, the ability to forgive. And what a wonderful place to learn those virtues, but the family, within the family structure. That's where we are supposed to be taught those virtues, which not only create a holy family, a holy environment, but also bless society with virtuous people. So again, I cannot underestimate the importance of the family in our culture. For thousands of years in the past and for thousands of years to come, the family will continue to be the mainstay of any society, any nation, any culture. So we in the church are called to remember that, to honor God's plan, God's design, and to do whatever we need to do to make sure that families are strong. In that first reading from Sirach, I'm sure you probably all have sort of the same reaction. As long as my father was alive, when it got to that part about, you know, when you're a father's mind fails, continue to love him. Well, we would look at my father, he would look at us, and we all giggle a little bit. But that's family life too, that we support one another in the good times and the bad times, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. Again, where better to live out that virtue of love and support and kindness than in the family? And then from there to go out into society and show those virtues, which are so important to a strong family, to show them to the world and say, this is what the world needs to be based on too. We need to bring that virtuous type of living into the world, which we learn primarily in the family situation, in the nuclear family. Now, Jesus did not get his knowledge simply by sitting there doing nothing. He learned a trade from his father, and he was obviously taught his faith by his parents, how to pray and at the synagogue, so that he could then go out and be strong in his commitment to his father and to the will of the father, even though that meant suffering and death. And that's another reason why we need strong families, so that children will go forth into the world who are strong in their convictions, who are rooted in the Lord, who are able to speak the truth in love, in kindness, humility, but to speak the truth, because it's only the truth, and this is again what the gospel tells us, it's only the truth that sets us free. Not what I would like, not what you would like, not what we would like to redefine or change in the world or change God, as the case may be, but simply to do the will of God, to know it, and to speak the will of God in truth, because we believe that only speaking that will and doing that will really brings about the peace, the justice, the love that we want in the world. So we honor the Blessed Mother, the mother of this holy family, Blessed Joseph, her chaste spouse who supported the family, and Jesus the child who was obedient to his parents, and as a family unit grew in their own virtuous living, their holy living out of God's will. And we can do it in the same way because we have the same God who is lavishing upon us all sorts of gifts so that we can have strong families, so that we can live the will of God as God desires us to live it. So I don't know what your family situations are like, what challenges you face, but you're not alone. And we as a community of believers are called to reach out to one another. If we know of things going on within a particular family, we're called to extend a hand, a helpful hand, because we're a bigger family as the church, so that we're all united, we're all related to one another. But we're called to reach out to one another in our needs, to celebrate when great things happen, and always to pray together that we will grow strong in our faith, strong in our ability to live virtuous lives, because when we do that, we make a great donation to our society, to our nation. We make it stronger as our families grow in strength, as families grow in their ability to live virtuous lives. So let's pray as we continue our Eucharist that God will lavish great blessings upon all of our families and that we as the family of God will come together to support one another, to support mothers and fathers and children so that we can have truly holy families that are rooted in Jesus Christ and bring Jesus Christ out into the world, to bring the virtuous life that God wants us to live as an example into the world.